Hello, thank you for tuning in to the E-Commerce Gold Podcast, your e-commerce legend. If this is your first time here, thanks for stopping by. If you're a veteran of the show, it's always good to see you. On today's show, we have Summer, founder of Dion Makeup Skincare. Summer is building a brand around community, which is something that is quite important, I think, in this particular time in e-commerce, because organic seems to be making a fight back where paid is becoming a bit more difficult to wrestle with. And Summer is leveraging her community that don't just support her products, they really support her and get behind her and turning that into momentum for growth for her brand. How she's doing that is going to be explained in this episode. This show is brought to you by Sendlane, the company that power email, text, and reviews for a ton of e-commerce businesses. They have been on a rampage recently, taking customers left, right, and center. And for good reason, they're incredibly price competitive. They have great email deliverability and their platform is incredibly modern. So it's just worth checking out. Most people that have had a demo have switched and the team behind Sendlane is just fantastic. They are going to support you. They're going to help you move over. They'll do everything for you, which is more than can be said for 99% of the SaaS companies in this ecosystem. But speaking of good companies, here's another one. Rewind is the app that sits in the background of your Shopify store, taking backups of your products, of your orders, of your customers, of all your data, more than just your theme data. And you can then restore that data should you need to. That could be because of an app conflict, or it could be because someone deleted something, or it could be any number of reasons that things go wrong on Shopify. But rest assured, you have safety with Rewind. It costs barely anything. Go and install it. It's a non-negotiable. Get it on your Shopify store. Both of those companies, you can either Google them or you can check out the show notes below. Go and check them out. Grab a demo if you haven't already. Love to see it on your store. Right then, on to today's show with Summer. I hope you enjoy it. Summer, thank you so much for joining us today on the Ecom Gold Podcast. How are you doing?
I'm good. Finn, it's so good to be here. I'm so appreciative.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I just listened to one of your other podcasts that you did. Can't wait to get into today's show. But please, will you give everybody an overview as to who you are and the brand you're building?
Yeah, well, it's awesome that you've heard me before. But my name is Summer Dion. I'm the owner and founder of Dion Cosmetics. We're a cruelty-free and vegan cosmetic company. We specialize in products for every skin tone, gender, and level of makeup artistry. And we're based out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Awesome. How long has the business been upstanding?
So it's been in the works since about 2015 when I was in high school. But we officially launched in the middle of the pandemic in October of 2020.
Okay, cool. And what do you think led you to start a business? Was it always on the cards for you?
It wasn't always, no. I don't think it is always like that for everyone. You know, you run into a problem and you're like, well, I guess I'm going to be the one to fix it. So actually, like when I was in high school, I was a big fan of makeup. I actually did makeup artistry for, this is my 10th year actually of doing makeup. And I ran into the problem where my clients would be like, without you, I can't do this by myself. I always have to hire you. And what happens when you're out of town or busy or et cetera. And so I was like, I wish there was a way like I could really make sure that the people who also love makeup, but don't really know what they're doing can have the opportunity to experience it. So I ran the idea by my parents. I said, what if I started a company? And they're like, you're 16. I was like, I know, but like, I have a great idea. And my dad was like, you know, once you go to college and get your education and really like you're passionate about it, like we can really focus on it. So when I was a senior in 2020, I said, okay, I'm going to go for it. You know, everyone's in the house. E-commerce is booming because we are in the house. And I said, I'm going to do this. So I made sure that I created products that I know that everyone would be able to use.
So that's the positioning of the brand, is it? Simple to use.
Yeah.
Makeup.
Simple, yeah. I really want to create products that like everybody could use.
So as someone who doesn't have much experience with makeup, is that a big problem for people? Is some makeup more professional? Is that you really need to be skilled to use it? Is that the the problem that you're basically solving there. Can you just give us an insight into the makeup world?
Sure. That's my thing. So one thing I've noticed with not just makeup, but kind of whenever you go shopping at anywhere you go, the mall, online, there's never really true instructions other than like how to use it, put it together. But for the people who have no experience, you usually have to go on like TikTok or YouTube University and try to figure it out, you know? So I was like, when I create products, I want everyone to be able to use it, because I know a lot of companies, they make sure that they have the availability with the product shade range and just, you know, accessibility, but they kind of put their products on a shelf where they're like, we assume that you know what you're doing, you know, you're going to figure it out. And that causes a lot of intimidation, I think, when it comes to consumers. So I made sure when we dropped Dion Cosmetics in 2020, I said, everybody needs to be able to feel comfortable with our products, or even just beauty in general. But yeah, so we launched in 2020, and actually recently we just relaunched our website interface, and it allows our customers to be able to have a personalized beauty quiz, and all of our products are step by step. So even if you were going to go shop for, if you have a sister or anything, you could go on it. It would be like cake.
Right. I got you. You're making it super easy to find the makeup solutions that you need. So just talk to me a bit about makeup then. So the reason why people wear makeup is to look good, I guess, right? Or feel good in themselves. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it just depends on the person. It could be, you know, covering blemishes, or also whatever makeup you're looking for. Cause I did more than just, you know, weddings and brides. I also was a big fan of special effects. So like if you needed your arm off, like that was me, back in the day. So it really just depends, but, a lot of people, especially right now with the trends, is kind of trying to go into the, we call it the no makeup makeup, where you just want to put on enough to just add to yourself, but not do too much, where, you know, a couple years ago, girls are wearing like really thick lashes and really thick, you know, makeup. But now it's just now to, I think, enhance, honestly.
Yeah, I feel like it's gone the other way, isn't it?
Yeah.
So makeup has trends, like fashion, would you say?
Definitely. Definitely. The trends are always changing, especially like in the beauty industry. It's either makeup or skincare that's like what's super popular. During the 2020 era, is, you know, when everyone was locked in the house and nobody was able to go out, a lot of skincare brands were like booming because everyone was just, you know, had things to do. And now that we're coming up on 2024, every 5 years, skincare and makeup kind of switch places for what's most popular. And so we're like, you know, 2024 is next year. So a lot of trends, and you're going to see a lot of more makeup companies coming back, and a lot of, you know, heavier wear in the makeup world. But yeah.
Oh, that's so where it's going, is it? We're back to the heavy makeup.
It switches back and forth. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. I wonder what drives that change. Do you think it's people wanting just to have some and look different? Do you know what is some of the factors that are behind the reason why it does that yin and yang?
Honestly, it's kind of like it's environmental. You know, we had the pandemic, so that kind of controlled what people were doing, what they were buying. People weren't able to, you know, go to the office. So people weren't getting their makeup, wearing makeup to go to the office anymore. Nothing in person was happening. So everyone was doing like self-care in the house. People were getting sick. So face masks and, you know, under eye masks, like things that people would do to, one, feel good because we're trapped in the house. And then also because of that, you know, all those months of being in the house doing that skincare, everyone's skin looks like amazing now, you know? And so now they're like, okay, now I kind of want to wear makeup again. But it does kind of like that go back and forth, you know?
Do you see it change?
It's popular too.
On the face masks, I think I did more face masks in the pandemic than I have ever done before. And I actually don't know how to use them properly. Charcoal ones, moisturizing ones, it's all much of a madness. But yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. It was a big focus on personal care, wasn't it? Does it change by generation, do you think? And do you target a specific generation, i.e. do you go after, you know, this is our cohort, this is our demographic, and do those trends change based on where you are in those cohorts?
Yeah, so it's kind of tricky for me personally, or our brand personally, because we do create products for every level, which could be any age. It could be the girls that are just coming into high school and they're like, I want to feel grown. I want to be, you know, glam like my older sister or what I see online. Or there's also the women that are probably in their mid-40s that are like, I've never worn makeup, but I need to for a friend's wedding. So our demographic is kind of all over the place, but it's still niched down to the people who are beginners and starting out. So it's all across the board. It could be anyone from honestly 18 to 50. And we make sure we create products for, you know, all the skin tones and the textures, but also for anybody that's, you know, wanting to jump into the makeup. You know,
it's a great positioning. It's a great positioning. I've overheard people that I'm close to who either don't wear a lot of makeup or rarely wear makeup, and they're just overwhelmed. Especially, I've been in shops, in real life shops, physical retail, with them when they're trying to pick something up, and they just don't have a clue, you know, what to buy. Like you said, there's just not much information. I think it's a real problem that you're addressing. So what were some of the early influences maybe that got you into makeup? Why did you get so attached to makeup?
Okay, great question. So I'm an oldest child. I am a big sister. And so when I was growing up, also my parents are pastors. So I'm a pastor's kid. So I didn't really have a super sheltered upbringing, but it was very traditional. So I didn't really wear a lot of makeup until I got into high school. And then also I had to do a lot of standard practices, especially because I was in a Christian high school. So I did things like I was a tennis player. I did the violin. I was on the honor roll, dean's list, all those things. And I didn't really have a personal outlet to be able to really express myself. So then my best friend bought me an eyeshadow palette. And she was like, you know, you've always said you wanted to get into makeup and do things. So here you go. Take this. And I had never touched makeup before. And I was like, okay, now what do I do with this? It's beautiful, but I don't know what to do. And I did attend YouTube University and I took that palette and I learned a bunch of looks. Back then it was good. Now it's kind of embarrassing, but I was like, I love this. I love that I can do it light. I could do it heavy. I could do a skull. I can do glitter. Like I just, however I felt and whatever I was wearing, I matched it. And so I was like, I want everyone to feel that. Because a lot of people don't have outlets. We're so tied into work right now, especially in America. Hustle culture is literally so toxic. So a lot of people don't have those outlets. And so I wanted to make sure everyone could have that safe space.
That makes a lot of sense. Was there a moment, like an inspirational, pivotal moment where you were like, actually, this is more than just a passion of mine. I want to start a business. Or is that always building up?
It's literally so much looking back. But when I was in high school, I did a study abroad in Guatemala, in the city of Guatemala, downtown. And I was there, you know, helping and doing missions during the nighttime. Like during the day, we had classes and learning. And then afterwards, we went to an orphanage to do mission work. And at nighttime, and it was a Friday, so the kids are able to do recess and play. And so they were all outside playing soccer or football, you know, there. And these girls were sitting on the bench because they were like, I'm not playing. And I was like, hold on, I'll be right back. And I grabbed my makeup bag and I like was like, I'm not going to use my makeup on them. But I got my nail polish out and I started painting all of their nails. And because it's such a, you know, a third world country, it's very, very deprived of a lot of resources. These girls are like, when I finished, they looked like they had a new finger. They're like, oh my gosh. Like, and they started crying. And I was like, to me, an American, I'm like, I get my nails done like biweekly. Like, what? But when I was there, they were like so emotional because they're like, I feel so beautiful. I feel so beautiful. And in that moment, I was like, I feel my best when I'm helping other women feel beautiful. you know? And even though it was just nail polish, to them, it was probably like the best thing in the whole world. I actually just gave them the bottle. But for me, it was probably more touching for me because I'm like this 15-year-old. And I like went back and I cried like tears of joy because I was like, oh my gosh, like I was able to pour into them through what I love, which is beauty. So that was like, I have to do this. Like, this is my calling.
Wow, that is a powerful story. And actually completely aligns with where you are now, with what you're doing, keeping beauty simple and empowering people to look good. Fantastic.
You.
Oh, that's amazing.
I imported a bulk import of products into Shopify, and I did not put in the meta fields the creative date, and that sent the whole filtering system haywire because you could no longer filter by filter collections by newest in first or date added to the website, which was a really big problem for this quite large fashion brand. If I didn't have Rewind, that would have been a complete pickle. It would have taken hours, if not days, to sort out. All of the while, these products are live and really messing up their merchandising. A mistake by me, absolutely. But fortunately, I had the foresight to install Rewind before I made any of these changes. And I was able to just click a button, restore the site back to a previous version just a few minutes before I made that fatal error. And no one was any the wiser. That's the value of Rewind. That's just one use case, okay? One use case. There are hundreds of other use cases. Have it on there because when you need it, you'll text me or you'll tweet me and say, thank you so much, Finn, for recommending that I install Rewind. You saved my bacon. Back to today's show.
When you conceptualized that into a business, how did you go about making your initial product? Did you know what you wanted to make? Was there particular product that you thought, actually, I'll bring that out first? And then how did you go about kind of formulating and bringing a product or products to market?
Yeah. So at the time, I had gotten a lot of requests from my friends. Once I started like, I think I'm going to do this, or I, you know, you start having that idea, you get a lot of like noise. And so my friends are like, do lipsticks, like that'd be so good. Because like, even now, like I'm wearing lipstick and I was known for wearing them like every single day, matching my outfits. But right around that time, Kylie dropped her company, Kylie Cosmetics, and they started with lip kits. And I was like, that's not going to do good. If Kylie Jenner is dropping lipstick, like what is a little girl from Atlanta going to, you know, compare? And so I was like, I have to do something different. And we actually launched with 6 shades of loose setting powder. Because at the time, the market was super, super small with setting powder. A lot of our competitors only had 1 or 2 shades. And I was like, that's only like the people who can wear that can have that. And I wanted to create beauty for everyone. So I said, I need 6 shades at least. I want to hit every tone. I want everyone to not be able to be like, oh man, I want to try this, but I can't. So I made sure that we had 6 shades. It took months of sampling to find the perfect manufacturer, to find the perfect everything size. And after, you know, we started in 2015, so I launched in 2020. So after like 5 years of research and getting my degree, I said, we're going to do this. And that's what we launched with, our loose setting powder.
How did you find your manufacturer? Was it, did you have a process? I mean, that's a long time, but you got to get it right.
Yeah. Transparent moment. It wasn't 5 years every single day. It was like, you know, off and on and, you know, in between school. But the process was, it was actually pretty long for me because I had no idea what I was doing. And because I am an older child, I'm very independent. So I started doing all this research and everything by myself in my college dorm. And I came across a bunch of labs in the States, but none of them really resonated with me. And they required super, super high minimum order quantities. And as a server and a college student, I was like, I can't do 50,000 units. Like that's too much per shade. So I was able to find a really good manufacturer in China for our loose setting powder. And I was able to basically talk with my manufacturer, my rep. I told her the things I was looking for, how many shades I wanted, just all the specs I was really like looking into. And I thought about, you know, every product I created, I was like, what would Summer, the makeup artist, need in her kit? What would Summer, the beauty creator, want for her products? What would Summer want as a beginner? So every time I do a product, I'm like, 1, 2, 3. So I talk over those with him, sample back and forth. And after the process of doing all that, I said, we had our product, and here we are now with our fan favorite loose setting powder.
And how about the packaging? Because I know that's a pretty big deal. Did you do the same thing? Did you use the same manufacturer? Were they able to help you with that?
Well, no. So the loose setting powder's packaging actually comes from Pakistan, because I wanted to do leave my green thumbprint when it comes to packaging. So it is recycled. And it was just the manufacturer I found for them as well was very important. So they're out of Pakistan. And yeah, so I have those two, and we're an international company when it comes to the manufacture process.
So does everything get shipped to the States and then you have to put the two things together? Just lost your light.
I know. I think it's like motion detected.
That's okay. You're still fully visible, unless you want to run around and try good. And find the
right. Light. One second. One second.
For the listener, Summer is now frantically running around the room, waving her arms. She's not really.
There you go.
You got it. Lights are back on.
This is me. Right. This is me. This is real. This is uncut and real. Okay, so where were we?
So I just wanted to know, like, you're a new business, your new company. You spent a lot of time working with an overseas manufacturer to try and get your product right. And we know that can take a long time with shipping times and communication. And then you decided to also go into another country, another manufacturer, to get your packaging designed. I just wanted to know how you bring that all together. Is it stateside? Does it all come in and someone has to package it all up? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. So when we first launched, I wasn't really specific about being out of the United States when it comes to some of our products. I just wanted the best and get the best quality. So if I had to be overseas, like, that was fine. So yeah, what we did was we have that all produced, and then it gets shipped over. During COVID, it was very difficult because not only did the, actual, like, flight stop for, us people, freight was very, very difficult. Very difficult, because if you don't remember, well, in the United States, the USPS, like, had a bunch of people, like, not working, and it was just, the process was slow down. But once everything comes over, it does arrive to us at our warehouse, and then we package it up there, and then we ship out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. And that's still the process today. You have obviously added some products now, I believe. Yeah. Is that the same thing? Are you still using the same? Excellent.
Yeah. So actually, the only products that still come from China are the loose setting powder. But we have eyeshadows, we have lashes, and those come actually from California. So those are domestic.
Okay. Competitive industry.
It is.
So you had your positioning, you got your initial product. How did you think about bringing it to market? Because it is hyper competitive. You've got some of the biggest celebrities in the world, like you already said, the Jenners, but you've also got a ton of other brands. How did you think I'm going to raise awareness for my brand? How did you do that initially?
Yeah. So when I first launched, the first thing that was really important to me was creating a community around my already community I already had personally. Years prior to launching, I did beauty content on YouTube, on TikTok, anywhere that, had video form. So I grew my community around that, doing tutorials throughout the holidays for Halloween, makeup tutorials. And so I had a very, very authentic following. And then it kind of also translated into doing beauty influencing. So I was doing a lot of paid ads and sponsorships from beauty companies. So people already really trusted my word and my judgment. So when I put that together with the business, and I already had that community, it wasn't really hard when I launched, thankfully. So for months prior, I also recorded behind the scenes process of everything behind the scenes, because I'm really personable with my crowd. And I said, I want them to see the ins and outs. I want them to see the me in my dorm room, like on the floor with like sketches and swatches all over the floor. I don't want to come off as super perfect and already put together. I want them to grow with me because this is for them in a sense. And so those months leading up prior, I was showing them, you know, I have a call today with a manufacturer. I am doing the sampling for this. So they're getting really, really amped up and excited because they're like, okay, she's not really showing us everything, but we're a part of something. So when I finally launched our, we had a initial commercial that we did actually, and it was a really huge production. So when we dropped the commercial, they were like, she's doing her own company this whole time. Like, this is her products, because when we had the samples come in, I kind of made it look like it was being sent to me. Like the products, like, oh, I'm just reviewing this new setting powder today. Like nothing out of the normal for the content I already made. And then I dropped my commercial and they were like, that's your company. So everybody was super excited and actually went viral. And then when we launched on October 10th, it was, the reaction was crazy. I was like literally at work. I was a server and I was just like watching the Shopify. It's like ding, 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 ding. And I was like, oh my God, I like broke down in the bathroom. But yeah, building a community beforehand was the best thing I could have done, honestly.
Yeah, amazing. Did you build that community and continue to build it now? Is that still a big part of the brand strategy, or is that just for your launch?
Yes. So it was really important for the launch, but I feel like even now it's more important because we launched, you know, 3 years ago and those people have seen me launch and they're like, okay, so what next? Like, how are you scaling? How can we see this? So I still consistently, I vlog all the time. I'll let them know, I'm doing a podcast today, like for my company, and they're excited. It makes them tune in. So I'm building an actual community for Dion Cosmetics, not just we have a good product. It's you guys have been along the way. It makes them feel, you know, welcome into the company. It makes them feel like they're a part of it. Yeah, so we still do that now.
And do you do any now paid advertising and marketing?
We do some. I'm a really big fan of UGC content. I feel like it's very authentic and it resonates with my audience. But I don't think that's always the best way to go, just because a lot of times people can tell when things are paid for, especially when there's a big hashtag ad in front of the content. It's like, it's okay. Like, I'm going to like it. But sometimes it actually pushes people to scroll past because they're like, if they're getting paid, of course they're going to tell me to buy it, you know? So my most important way that I like to even create that engaging marketing is UGC. We do a lot of gifted content because we're like, you get the products, you try them out. If you love them, then we'll see online, you know? And that has never failed us. I don't force any of my creators to create content. A lot of it is by favor. Like, we genuinely love your powder, your product. So here's content. And my customers can see that, especially when it's their favorites, you know, saying that they also love the product. But yeah, not everything I would ever recommend always has to be paid for, because I feel like it's more genuine when it's, you know, your friend recommends a restaurant to you. You'll probably go before you see sponsored ad on your Instagram story, you know?
Yeah, good way to put it, 100%.
Thank you.
What do you think about these platforms for building a community? What's your favorite one to build on? Like, what do you enjoy creating content for most? Which one of the platforms?
My favorite is definitely TikTok. Really? When it first came out, I was like, what is this app? But as the time has progressed and you can see how people are using it. Okay. So when you see people using the app, you're learning that, okay, like you get like a more in-depth version of somebody, because you can get those video logs on YouTube, like the long form content. But a lot of the times it's like too much. People's attention spans are way shorter now, especially because of the pandemic. So you're seeing the behind the scenes on the TikTok, and it's way more, you just kind of pull your phone out and you record. So it's way more relatable than a lot of, like, you know, Instagram is kind of a photo shoot. When you look at people's content on Instagram, it's very, you know, professional, and you can tell that it's like, okay, we're purposely trying to market this. Whereas on TikTok, a girl will pull out her camera and just be like, I have to tell you about this great product. And that's what it is.
What are some of the things that you've learned works really well for you on TikTok? Can you give us some tips?
So my favorite type of content for TikTok is honestly unboxings, personally, to watch and to have done, because our packaging is pretty extra. It comes like a luxury gift when you go shopping at luxury stores, with a bow, a personalized card. You know, I really want to keep that community mindset in every element of our company. So everything is personalized. Like, you open it and it's like, hi, Finn. Like,
really?
You know, this is for you. Wow. Yeah, it's so nice. And then so a campaign that we ran around Black Friday of last year, on the cards, we took a compilation of a lot of our consumers submitted photos and we put it on the card. So people were literally just buying it because they were like, I want to get my picture on the card. So on TikTok, unboxings are really, really popular. And also first impressions do really well because it's really genuine, because you don't have any, there's no biased opinions. It's not, okay, like, let me just talk about this. It's, wow, like, this is actually really good.
Wow. Yeah, I did. So how do you you obviously justify the additional cost and effort required to have an incredible unboxing experience and personalized experience. Is that something you'll maintain while you scale and build the brand, do you think? Because there's an associated cost to that, right? It comes out of your, ultimately, your profits to do things like
that. It's more labor because all the notes are handwritten and everything is put together by hand. I do want to continue it as I scale, just because people look forward to it and it just creates that authentic feeling around our brand. I don't want to be that company that when they get so big that they forget the people who got them to that point. So I definitely think I would still keep it going, just because when people look forward to it, I want to keep that feeling in our community.
You are in the D2C space. If you have a brand that's selling online and you haven't at least had a demo with Sendlane, then one of two things is objectively true about you. You like setting money on fire. You like making your life more difficult. If neither of those things are true and you are an e-commerce brand and you are selling online, you do send emails, you do send SMS, you do have reviews, or at least like to collect reviews, then there is no reason for you not to at least have had a demonstration with Sendlane. They are built for e-commerce. They are the most modern platform with the best features, in my opinion, at the lowest cost. I mean, I'm not really sure what would be holding you back. Please go and check them out. Show notes below, they have an event coming up. You can still get tickets, I believe, for that event in San Diego. A link to the Commerce Roundtable in the show notes below as well. Please do go and check out Sendlane if you haven't already. Back to the episode.
So where are you building your community primarily? You're trying to get YouTube subscribers, you're trying to build a Facebook page, have you got a big email list? Like, what's your main focus for where you're building your community?
Yeah, so we are building it on honestly every platform we can get on, but our most important are going to be our video apps. So that's YouTube and TikTok. One, because TikTok is a favorite, and it's just really good and easy to build that community on TikTok, especially when you may be in the middle of doing your makeup and you're like, how do I put on lashes? Let me go on TikTok really quick and let me go and look. But what's really important to me is that on all of our products, there are QR codes that actually direct our customers straight to our YouTube channel, where they can find product tutorials, reviews, and more information about the products. So there's never a moment where they won't know how to do something. So not only is our product selection very, very simplified, but also, you know, our tutorials are accessible on YouTube.
Yeah. And Q4 coming up Are you going to be doing anything around gifting for your yeah. products? It's like a great product for gifting.
Yeah. So actually, one, there's just so much going on in Q4. It's our birthday. It's Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and Christmas, and all the other December holidays. So we do a lot of giveaways. We team up with other startups that are, you know, similar or that align, and we'll do giveaways. So those are super exciting. I can't say too much because I do surprises every single year. But yeah, so we do giveaways and a lot of gifting during this time.
Excellent. So what's the future for the brand? Where do you see it in the next sort of 2 to 5 years?
Yeah, so what's really important for me, especially now for that future outlook, is continue growing that community, making it known that we're here for you, even if you're a beginner. I don't want anyone to feel left out when it comes to wanting to feel beautiful or wanting to express themselves. So reaching out to our community, doing a lot more in-person activations, collaborating with other brands that align and resonate with our customers as well, continue to give back. And also in the next year, we're going to be launching Dion University, which is basically kind of how I make fun of the YouTube University, but no. So Dion University will be us teaming up with local high schools and cosmetic institutes and teaming up with the students there to be able to give back, give them the supplies, you know, with their makeup, give them just that resource and another kind of community outside of school. So, you know, it can just align with also, you know, everyone being able to know how to use makeup, and those people who are extremely passionate and want to see a feature in makeup have that opportunity.
So would you say your kind of your positioning, completely understand your point of difference in the market and your product market fit, and your go-to-market strategy seems to revolve very heavily around content and community. Is that how you would?
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Education, community.
Education and community. And so in terms of like paid growth and paid ads and things like that, is that just something you'll use as a tool to try and help you build those pieces of content out? You're not coming at this being like really tactical, how can I spend X and get Y on Facebook? You're really focusing on building that brand and community.
Yeah. So I think both can really play a part, specifically on, well, a brand specific goals and then what our goals for if we're doing a launch. Yeah. If we're doing product launches, yeah, we'll definitely look into the paid ads and the actual products. But when it comes to building the brand, that's more important to me sometimes than the products, because when you have a good product, that can only take you so far, because people do get bored and other brands come out all the time. But when you have a really strong community, you can, you know, come out with anything that they'll like. But yeah, building that community is super strong for that aspect, if that makes sense.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. All right, let's round up with a quick fire round. Cool. Just a quick one or two, or a sentence or two answers. If you could swap businesses for a day with one company or entrepreneur, who would you choose and why?
Oh, great question. So definitely Huda Katan. She's the founder of Huda Beauty. Definitely. They also have a really big platform when it comes to community, because she started out as a beauty influencer as well.
What do you admire most about what they've built?
I love the authenticity. They really pride and champion no filters on any of their pictures online and any product campaigns. And then just the community too. So they're really big on reposting. They have a really big following of almost 20 million, like on all their platforms together. So it's kind of a big advantage for being a small creator and getting reposted by them. And they're really big on making sure you as a creator feel welcome as well. So I definitely think Huda and I's morals definitely align completely.
Celebrity partnerships, yes or no? Good idea or bad idea?
Definitely a good idea, but depends on who and the outcome that you're wanting, if you're wanting to do a bunch of sales and make quick money, then that's probably the way to go. But knowing exactly who that you would choose makes a very big difference to me. Because once again, I'm like really big on the community around, not just me, anybody that we're associated and put our names on, it has to be the same way and in a healthy way.
Who would you choose?
That's so hard. I really think in a perfect world, Beyonce would be the best collaboration ever because people are so loyal to her movement. Even if you're not a really big fan of her, people still admire her for what she's doing for women, our minorities of Black women, Black people, and just also with her most recent tour, she really honed in on the LGBT community. So she's a very powerful voice when it comes to having that community.
Okay. Most random thing you've ever bought online?
I bought white gumballs because I have a vintage gumball machine that's in my office. So I wanted it to fill it with white gumballs to match my brand aesthetic.
Why not? There's some off the wall questions there. Anything that I should have asked you that you think you can give some insight on that I didn't ask that might help anyone who's on their entrepreneurial journey at the moment?
Yeah, I think honestly, my biggest takeaway with business or even just, you know, continuing a business is knowing exactly what your customer segment is and your positioning. A lot of times people launch businesses because they want to, or they want to have something attached to their name, but there's really no problem being solved. So with that being said, knowing your double E's, which is such like a saying for me. So your double E's would be your emotion and the experience of your customer. Knowing what that product makes them feel and what are they experiencing with your brand. Regardless of what you're selling, those two double E's is super important when wanting to launch a business.
Make a note of that one. Thanks, Summer. It's been really interesting to hear from you. I hope we get to do this again in maybe a year or two and see where the brand is and if Beyonce's signed up to be an ambassador. Hopefully. Fingers crossed, right?
Fingers crossed. Thank you so much, Finn, for having me. This has been a great conversation.
Final question is, where would be the best place, most profitable place for listeners to go ahead and buy one of your products should they feel inclined? Amazon, on your website?
Okay. So our website is doncosmetics.co, and we're also available on Amazon internationally and walmart.com.
Amazing. All right, Summer, we're out.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Summer. That was Summer on the show, everybody. We'll be tracking her growth and wishing her all the best. She's obviously a talented e-commerce player, and let's see how that brand grows up. Thanks again for tuning in to the Ecom Gold Podcast. As always, we will be back next week for another episode of Ecom Gold. Sit tight till then. Have a great time. Thanks for tuning in.